So let's go down to Miami. Andy Baggerly, CSN Bags. Bags, how are you today?
Hey, Marty. Now, you're from New York, right?
I was born in Brooklyn. As you know, I talked to that gentleman a minute ago.
How do you pronounce the name of the state that I'm currently standing in?
Florida.
Florida. Florida.
Florida.
I love how people from New York say Florida.
That's it.
Yeah.
I moved
That's
to Miami it. Beach.
And it seems like all of New York has moved to Miami Beach.
Yes, we did. We were in the migration of 1956. That's what we called it.
This is a fun trip. Miami's always a fun city to come to. And, you know, it's even fun just to go to the airport and you're looking at the other gates and the flights and where they're going. And they're going to places that you don't normally see in the airport, you know, like Providenciales and Turks and Caicos. And I think, oh, I'd love to jump on any one of these.
You know, I used to do that before, you know, when I was in law school. I was dating a stewardess, and you know, for Pan Am, and I just get on the plane and I go to some, you know, all over the Caribbean.
Nice. You know, you have to call them flight attendants now.
Oh, do you? All right.
Just so you know.
Yeah, they had that little uniform on. I like that show, Pan Am. That was a good show. It reminded me of my youth. All right. What do you think?
Hey, Marty.
Yes. Go ahead.
Before you jump in, can I make a comment from your last caller? Would that be all right?
Sure.
So I think there's something missing from the analysis when people talk about how Posey's got so much more value because you get that OPS in the catcher spot. And that flaw is if he stays a catcher and he plays every day as a catcher, you're not going to get the same OPS because he's going to wear down. And we're seeing it happen right now. I mean, he's on pace for 124 games caught this year, which would, you know, eclipse last year by about 10. And clearly he's wearing down the second half. He's batting a buck something where we're used to seeing him just go on an absolute tear in the second half like he did in 2010 and he did in 2012. And so, you know, I don't think it's going to hasten his move out from behind the plate. If anything, I think the earliest you'd see it happen would be 2015, maybe, when Pablo Sandoval could leave as a free agent and maybe he becomes a third baseman. But it's just that one is just sort of sticks in my craw a little bit because it's so easy for people to assume it's always so much more valuable you're going to get that production from catcher as opposed to another position. But I just don't think you're going to get the same production if he stays at that position. Anyway, wanted to share that thought.
No, I agree with you. And the emergence of Brandon Belt here complicates this situation, even to get Posey a day off. It's interesting. They may just give him a day off and not play him.
Well, that's just what they're going to do, exactly. And I asked Bruce Bochy that question earlier on this trip, and he said, yeah. I mean, it would be a little tougher if the team obviously is contending and you don't want to take Posey's bat out of the lineup. But, you know, given where they are in the standings, given that he has struggled in the second half, given the fact that Belt is clearly their best hitter right now, and he plays first base, and you don't want to – you could always move Belt to left field, but then maybe you might disrupt him and he's not your best defensive option. So they might have to find a workaround if they were contending, but they don't have to worry about that. So I think you're going to see Posey just get a full day off when he doesn't catch.
Yeah, just play it out. And as I say, you know, it's funny. You know, I say this every year. By the time the end of the year, you look at the back of the baseball card, and the players generally end up where they should be. And last night just showed it to me. Everyone made a big jump on their baseball card last night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it all evens out, right? That's
yeah, it does.
162 games.
Yeah.
But what was, I think, refreshing to see was the extra base hits. There were eight of them. And we know that this team, at least a day or two ago, ranked fourth in the NL in average, but second to last in slugging percentage. And just so many hits have been singles, especially in this second half. We know they're not a home run team, but, you know, they led the majors in triples last year. And, in fact, I was talking to Belt and Kane and Pence about that in the clubhouse before the game yesterday, and you know how they just haven't hit the same amount of triples, and that's one reason maybe they haven't been scoring as many runs. And Belt walked up to me as soon as he saw me after the game. Of course, they hit three triples, and he said, "I guess you made us angry because we went out and got three triples."
Good. So. Well, bring Pagan back, and maybe you'll get some triples because then he had like 15 or something last year.
He had 15, broke the franchise record, and they had, I think, 51 or 52 to lead the majors. So, clearly that helped make up for the lack of home runs last year.
Andy Baggerly is with us. Extra Bags, of course, we tease him the nickname, but CSN Bags with two Gs on Twitter. Always good to follow him. What's your take on Kieschnick, Andy? I know strikeouts with 40 at-bats, probably 18, 19 strikeouts, but what's your take on him as a hitter?
You know, a lot of swinging and missing and a lot of called pitches, too. I think he's caught in between a little bit. But the skill set, it's so easy to make the comparison to Nate Cheerholz because he's got a good arm. He's a good defensive outfielder. He can run for a guy of his size. And he does have power, big-time power, when he runs into one. I think that's something that's very tough for a guy, making that jump to the big leagues who has some power, because you want to cut down the strikeouts. You want to be a good contact hitter, put the ball in play. But your best tool, your probably most valuable tool, is your ability to drive the ball out of the ballpark. So, you got to almost find a happy medium. And I think it just comes through seeing big league pitching. Roger is, I think, fortunate that the team's in the position that it is, that they can go out and let him maybe work through some things. But I like his athleticism. I think that is something that's going to translate from what we saw in the minor leagues. And whether he can figure it out on the hitting side, it's pretty much a question only he can answer.
Yeah, at least he gets a shot, and he's got some power. But I think they use the phrase, when I had Bam Bam on last week, says he's just trying to survive right now.
Yeah.
Just trying to survive and get singles and just put the bat on the ball. But he's a likable kid, and he's got a good arm, and they need a left fielder, so I'm glad to see him get a shot. Andy, what about Lincecum's game against Washington? What was your assessment of him? Because his next start is Monday night against the Red Sox, and again, for me, he's still in that period of time, even though the numbers are terrific since June, of who he really is. So what did you think Wednesday and looking ahead to Monday?
Well, wow, the thing that stuck out to me is that he was hitting 94. He really had a lot of life on his fastball, and got picked apart a little bit in that one long inning, and then made one big location mistake that I believe it was Desmond hit that two-run double. Was it Rendon? I forget. It's just a matter of pitching smart, and I think that he has been doing a lot better job of that. Even Bruce Bochy walked up to Timmy in full view of everybody and patted him on the back and said, "You had awesome stuff, and you just had really bad luck today, so keep it going." And I think that's the way Lincecum has to look at this thing. He can't just, live and die with the results of every start. He'll drive himself crazy. And I think he's kind of in that place where he realizes, hey, I think I figured some things out, and now it's just a matter of trying to be as consistent as I can from outing to outing. And, clearly every start's a big one for him because he is coming up on free agency.
I know.
I don't sense that he's putting a lot of pressure on himself, but you don't see him the day that he pitches like you used to.
Right.
He really is sequestered now, and I think he's doing a lot of studying of the lineup he's going to face. And, he's really grown and really matured, I think, not only as a pitcher but a person over just his tenure in the big leagues. And it's been an interesting kind of journey to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And 94, well, that's good. And, again, if he can do that and spot it and throw the off-speed stuff, he's terrific. But, here's another start against Boston, and we'll see what he does. That's a team that's fighting for their lead in the American League East. Sandoval had a good game last night, first to reach in six plate appearances since the great Nate Cheerholz did it against the Phillies in 2010. He's lost a lot of weight. Is the bat speed any better now?
I think so. That is a big key for him. He was late on the fastball. Part of that was the fact he wasn't getting his foot down. And now he's doing that, and the bat speed's a little better. He's in better shape, too. I think he put himself behind the eight ball. We all know it. It's really hard to try to do two things at once during the season, both be ready to play every day and try to get yourself in some kind of condition. And, you better believe it. He's coming up on a free agent year, and he's going to do everything he can this offseason. I fully expect to be ready to go from day one of spring training next year. But, he's kept a really good attitude. I got to give him a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Because he's having his worst season by far. He's been smiling. He's been very positive over the last couple of days. He hasn't been barking at us when we want an interview with him or whatever. And, it's actually kind of fun. I think it was Grant from McCovey Chronicles unearthed a video of Pablo as a 10-year-old hitting a double.
I saw that.
Little league game. So I showed it to him. I said, "Who is this guy?" And he says, "That's me, man. That's me, same swing."
Yeah.
So he was in a really good mood last night. Obviously, he was on base six times. Not that anyone wanted that game to go any longer than it did, but if he'd gotten the chance to get on a seventh time, he would have tied the all-time franchise record.
Cesar Gutierrez? No?
No. Three guys, Willie Mays, Mel Ott, and Bill Terry That's a pretty good who's who right there.
Not bad. Not bad. Gutierrez, I think, was 6-for-6 or something. I forget. I thought it was with the Giants. Maybe it was the Tigers. I don't know. But these things run together, let me tell you. Hunter Pence, big game for him. What's not to like about this guy? He's got to come back.
Yeah, I think so. He wants to come back, and the team wants him to come back. And it's a business, and stuff enters the equation. It's unforeseen. But, you know, I do think that there's going to be mutual interest in getting something done quickly, if not even before the end of the season. You know, I can see him being totally open to that and the team too. Because if they don't bring him back, then, you know, you've got Angel Pagan coming off a fairly major surgery, and then you've got nothing else in the outfield.
Really?
I mean, in terms of established players, I mean, Gregor Blanco is looking, I sad to say, he's looking like a non-tender right now, the way that he's finishing up the season. Torres, I don't believe, will be in the plans next year. Like you said, you've got Kieschnick. I still think Francisco Peguero has the best blend of tools to be an everyday player, and maybe we'll see him in September, if not before. But if they don't bring Pence back, they've got to get two outfielders and maybe even cover themselves for Pagan, not knowing what he's going to look like. So I think they have to bring Pence back, if not only for that reason alone.
I agree. Last thought for you, Hector Sanchez. I said this earlier. He now made the 2014 Giants this week.
Hey, Marty.
Yes.
He can hit.
Yes, he can. Well, let me tell you, he is on the team. That the home run against Washington said, okay, all other catchers, goodbye. He is now the backup for 2014.
Yeah, well, you know, and that you see the reason why I think club officials have thought so highly of him when, you know, he was a very easy guy to single out, as, you know, fans call him Hacktor. And you go back to his minor league numbers, even in the low minors, and he's a guy who drew walks and had a pretty good on-base percentage, you know, here and there. And, you know, he said it's one of the goals that he had this year was to be more patient and work deeper counts. And obviously he had to adjust all those goals because he got hurt and the shoulder was just an issue all year. But, you know, when he is healthy and he can let the bat go, he can hit. He can turn around a quality big league fastball, and that's not something that you can teach somebody. You have to have that within you. And if you've got that within you, then that means that everything else can be taught. Everything else can be sort of the edges can be sanded off. And you know, he did a good job catching Lincecum against the Brewers and received 190 pitches yesterday. I counted them up. So he'll get a well-deserved day off today.
Terrific. You did use the phrase, he can hit.
He can hit, Marty.
That's one of my phrases. You know that.
Take a drink. What do you got? You got your flask in front of you?
I've got a drink of water right here. That's one of my phrases. He can hit.
Boo.
Boo. You just made you know what. LOL.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You're on.
Yeah, everybody take a drink.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for being on. I appreciate it. How's the weather today? I know the roof will be closed. My sister has already tweeted to me it's 95 in Miami today.
Yeah, you know, a little cooler than it was yesterday. I went out to the beach today, and no joke, there's a state park there at the tip of Key Biscayne called Bill Baggs with two G's, Bill Baggs State Park. And yes, I have a brother named Bill, and I sent him the picture of the sign. And he said, oh, did you give me a T-shirt, man? Oh, gosh. I'll have to go back and get him a T-shirt.
All right. You go back over the Rickenbacker Causeway. I know it well.
Exactly.
All right. Andy, thanks so much. I'll enjoy following you tonight. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marty.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. At CSN Bags. Always a pleasure to have him on, as I like to say.